The countdown is on as WrestleMania is only 30 days away. There's no shortage of news this week with rumors of Kurt Angle and the Hardys returning shortly to WWE television. In what capacity? Plus, SmackDown delivered arguably one of its best shows since the brand split. And does The Undertaker show up this Sunday at Fastlane? All of this, plus my official Fastlane predictions, you guessed it, right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! Oh, my God! 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 Oh, my God!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Welcome, guys, to the WWE Podcast, also simulcast now with the Matt's Madness brand. So thank you for joining me. You guys can find me in a couple places, either WWEPodcast.com or Matt'sMadness.com, but on Twitter, I'm under Matt's Madness and or the WWE Podcast. You can search for me both. My name is the WWE Podcast, but my actual handle is at Matt's Madness. But you guys know the drill. I'm there. It's the same guy. I'm doing the same thing. I'm enjoying it and just under a couple of new changes and expanding into the WWE Podcast brand and making that a little bit more well-known. And so you guys can find me lots of places. Best place? iTunes. You can search for me there under WWE Podcast or Matt's Madness. And rate, review me, subscribe. You know the drill. It really does help out the show. Visit the sites as well if you want to support the show. There's a support the show tabs on both sites. I do appreciate it. And folks, we're 30 days out of WrestleMania. We are 30 days from Orlando, from one of the biggest turning points, I think, in WWE. Really to showcase what they've done over the last year. We can really now take out the report card and the score sheet with the clipboard, pen in hand, and be able to grade WWE on the success or failure of the brand split. I think this is the first time you can really take the temperature of WWE. Is it a conclusive? No. But as it stands right now, if WrestleMania were today, I would say SmackDown gets a passing grade, while Raw is, I would say, barely passable. It's kind of like you are satisfactory. You know when you're in grade school and you get satisfactory or unsatisfactory? Well, WWE's kind of, with Raw anyway, has been a little bit on the fence, you know, up and down, where SmackDown has been more the consistent brand, really maximizing and squeezing all of the juice that they can out of the talent that they have. Here's the other thing, though. They have a much easier format to work with, a much more condensed format, meaning they have less fluff, less crap that they have to insert into the show that makes it either eye-rolling, snooze-worthy, bathroom break type of deal, and they have a two-hour show versus 3 hours. So I think that is really, it's a fair assessment at this point. After the brand split on July 19th of the last year during the summer, I think it's time that we take out those report cards, guys. Let's take a look. Did WWE succeed in the brand split? And as a whole, not just separating the brands, but when you look at WWE as a whole, has the brand split been a success? My instinct right now is I think it has, because it's given guys the opportunity that wouldn't have normally gotten the opportunity to really showcase what they have. Baron Corbin is one. Dean Ambrose, another. The Miz, arguably one of the most successful guys since the brand split. Another beneficiary, Alexa Bliss. The list goes on. And I think that the brand split is going to continue for the foreseeable future. I don't see any reason to bring the brands back together, at least for the next few years. It is doing, I think, magic for the guys and gals on SmackDown. So let's address the rumors up front, and then I'll get into my reviews. And of course, I have my Fastlane predictions, which are for this Sunday, and as I record this, 2 days away. So the latest in the rumor mill, which has been pretty consistent, I would say, not just through the dirt sheets and the internet crowd, but through some of the bigger names in wrestling. Jim Ross addressing it, you know, larger names, Taz and his podcast. So Kurt Angle returning to WWE. He's obviously in the Hall of Fame. We know that. He doesn't have a match at WrestleMania. Does he show up at WrestleMania for an angle slam and an ankle lock? I think there's a hell of a chance of that. In some capacity, I believe that. But I think the bigger impact will be for Kurt Angle returning the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. Traditionally, one of the hottest Raws, one of the most raucous, volatile crowds. You have Kurt Angle return there. The latest rumor is that he returns to replace Mick Foley, who seems to be on the outs. He has to get hip surgery, and that's pretty common knowledge. I think that is a good fit for Kurt Angle, although I would be concerned that he gets overexposed week after week, and it wouldn't be as special if he returned to have a one-off. So I think that could be absolutely in the cards. And who does he have a match with? I mean, I don't know. Brock Lesnar, or is it AJ Styles? Whomever it is, whether it's one, two, three matches, it needs to be high profile. You have to maximize this guy. He has so many miles on his car. He's like a car that just will not die. You have 200,000 miles on this car, and it's showing its normal wear and tear, but damn, it is still going. Is it in its prime? Can it go as fast as it used to? No. But can it do what it needs to do? And I think Kurt Angle, it's a good analogy, because Kurt Angle is that car that has a ton of mileage, but still can get the job done, and I really believe he can. So it's very interesting to see who they're going to pair them with. Now on to the Hardy Boys. They're also rumored to be coming back to WWE in some capacity, of course, after WrestleMania. Now, do they come back as a tag team? I would say yes. Do they continue with the broken Matt Hardy from TNA? I'm going to say no. Although that was a very successful character for TNA and got people talking about the brand, and myself included, who never ever watched TNA. I think that is something that they miss out on by, if in fact they do pretend that that broken Matt Hardy character never existed and they just come back as the good old Hardy Boys. But it'll be good nonetheless to see them both come back if that is the case. It'll really give a jolt to the tag team division, hopefully on Raw, which needs it, I think, more than SmackDown. Although, admittedly, both brands have somewhat failed in the department of making the tag team championships feel important. They have gotten, I think, a D grade. The tag team championship right now on Raw feels lukewarm, and that's being kind. You have Gallows and Anderson who are holding the belts after Cesaro and Sheamus finally defeated the New Day. And by the way, the New Day are in obscurity right now. They're hosting WrestleMania, and I'll get to that. What a fall from grace. And so the tag team championships really don't mean a whole lot, and it's a shame. So the Hardy Boys could be a very welcome addition. And of course, let me address The Undertaker on Sunday. Now, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody if he does show up Sunday, and I think in some capacity he will. I'm giving a little bit of my prediction away, but the Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns match, I have a feeling of I know who's going to win that, unfortunately, but I think that The Undertaker will make his presence felt after the match concludes, because WrestleMania is coming up fast, guys. There's only 4 weeks. That's not a whole lot to build to the biggest show ever, as they'll bill it, right? So the biggest show of their year. I think that is, without a doubt, a factual statement every single year that WrestleMania is their biggest show. So they only have 4 weeks to make Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker feel important, feel special. And I wrote a column on my WWE podcast website under, if you go to menu and under WWE Thoughts, it's kind of my blog there. I'll be renaming it and kind of putting a little more polish on the site, making it easier to follow. But if you go to WWEpodcast.com and you click on WWE Thoughts, I wrote a column, a pretty in-depth article as to why this is the time and place to make Roman Reigns the hottest heel. And I think maybe inherently that putting him, Roman Reigns, against The Undertaker at WrestleMania is pretty much they're waving the white flag. That Vince maybe finally waving the white flag of, we're doing it. I think inherently by putting Roman Reigns against The Undertaker, you're turning him heel. So I think that's the time and place to do it. I also go into depth as to kind of breaking down why the babyface run didn't work. Really, since I start really from where the Shield broke up until present day, and I think you guys will enjoy it. So head on over there and check it out. I know many of you do. I'm checking out the traffic, and many of you seem to be enjoying the article and emailing me about it, and I appreciate the feedback. So do we see Undertaker? My guess is yes, and I'll get to my prediction soon. So let's talk about Monday Night Raw. It was from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Sorry, guys, we're not the best crowd. There were some segments where I expected you guys to come alive, and I don't know. There was some kind of spell over the arena where, you know, outside of the Goldberg entrance at the beginning of Raw, you guys were asleep. So, and let's get into it. Oh, Goldberg opens the show and says that last week, Kevin Owens did what he does best, talk. He makes a promise that this Sunday he's going to win the Universal Championship. Kevin Owens comes out and he says he's in a good mood too, and that he made a promise and that he would take this company by the throat and show them what Kevin Owens was all about. He talked about how he beat John Cena on his very first night and goes through the list of opponents that he's said he's gone through, and such as the likes of Dean Ambrose. And Kevin Owens says that Goldberg is next. Goldberg invites him to the ring, which of course Kevin Owens teases but doesn't do. And Sunday, he said that this Sunday, the Goldberg chant dies. New Day comes out. They talk about how they're the hosts of WrestleMania. What? I know I addressed this earlier, but why couldn't WWE place them in a match? You have these guys, the longest running tag team champions of all time, and they're just hosting WrestleMania? I think it's time to finally split this trio. I think they have run this course. It's been a great run. I think it's time to turn one of them or both of them on one member. Somebody needs to turn on somebody. And it's time. It's time for this to end. And they just start talking about ice cream, and the Shining Stars interrupt, and they do an awful knockoff of the Oscars Moonlight Award blunder. And then Rusev and Jinder were actually the opponents for New Day. Just awful. I think the low point of the night was this. Green Bay had a right to be quiet here. It was awful. Sorry, no other word for it. Not to be negative, and I don't like to be, but this is the kind of garbage where WWE tries to be like, hey, yeah, we're in tune with the current events. Let's try to bring it into the mainstream of our product. And it doesn't work. When you plan humor, it doesn't work. Organic humor is far better. And I think that on paper, it was supposed to be funny, and maybe someone in a boardroom thought it was funny. I don't watch wrestling to laugh unless it happens organically, or you have somebody who is exceptional at comedy. Rusev is, to his detriment, and I think Santino Marella was too. So, just bad. Bad. I don't like when they try to be cool and hip, and let's move on. New Day and versus Rusev and Jinder. Xavier won with a roll-up on Jinder for the win. Nothing much to say. Let's move on. Backstage, Sheamus and Cesaro are interrupted by Samoa Joe, who trades insults with Cesaro, who had I know you guys may or may not know, but he had a pretty big program in Ring of Honor with Cesaro, so they have a history. Let's see. He puts Joe in a match. Let's move along here. He trades insults with Samoa Joe, and he claims that he'll handle this. Steph insults Mick backstage as her weekly neutering of Mick Foley continues. You know, it's a shame that Mick Foley has been kind of reduced to what he has. And Stephanie, who usually has a pretty good argument against some baby faces, just can't help herself but make herself look good in every segment. She talks about how far from grace he's fallen. He puts Samoa Joe in a match with Cesaro, Mick Foley, that is, and it looks like Mick's job as GM could be winding down. I'm okay with that. I think a little time away, hip surgery, recovery, whatever it may be, is good for him, and I think it's good for WWE to freshen it up. And what would be even better to freshen up the product? Get Stephanie the hell off of TV. Please. Please, I'm begging you. Get her off TV. It's cool when she came back. You know, if she takes a long absence, just as anyone does, and comes back, it feels better. It feels more special. Just look at Triple H. We were tired of him coming out week after week with Stephanie. He leaves. He comes back after, a year really of absence and just working on the NXT brand. And he's embraced by the WWE Universe. The crowd reacts. Now you have Stephanie, who has been a mainstay on television for years as the authority figure. And it is, it's more than run its course. It is more than on fumes. It is like they're using a corpse that has been rotted and nothing but bones left. That is how much and how dead that and stale that this feels. It's enough. And that's all I'll say. So Charlotte says after she, that Bayley showed her true colors last week and not doing the right thing by being selfish, keeping the women's championship, and calls Bayley a one-hit wonder. Bayley comes out and says that she knows that she made the right decision last week, and her next dream is to walk into the WrestleMania as champion. So it's the same as Naomi's. Why is everybody talking about dreams? Their dream. It's my dream to be here. It's my dream to walk into WrestleMania. It's my dream to stand in this ring. I was just a fan. Everybody needs to stop with the sappy, suck-up corporate crap that just tries to make it look like WWE is this holier-than-thou, just sacred ground to be on. It's sickening. But anyway, I beyond that, what about walking out as champion? It's great to say my dream is to walk in as champion. No one said they want to walk out champion, which to me is more important. But Charlotte says that she is tired of hearing about Bayley's dreams. We all are. And WrestleMania is only 40 days away. Okay. Charlotte, we'll round up from 34 days at the time. We'll give you some slack. Sasha comes out and says Bayley is more deserving of that championship than she is. And Sasha reminds them that they have a tag team match, but not with Dana Brooke, who's all been forgotten, but with Nia Jax. Sasha and Bayley versus Charlotte and Nia Jax is next, and it was a nice match with these four. Nia pins Bayley with the leg drop. Nobody can get on a roll on Raw. Nobody. It's regardless of if you're champion or not, because they don't care about your win-loss record on Raw. It's like they're 50-50-50 booking. Nobody gets on a roll. It's mind-numbing. More than two wins in a row is unheard of. I don't get it. You know, Bayley wins one week. Charlotte wins the next. And Charlotte's very average on Raw, but somehow, you know, eats her spinach, and she's Popeye on steroids on pay-per-views. And it's mind-numbing. You know, how can anybody get on a real roll if you just keep booking win-loss, win-loss, win-loss? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense when you do that. Especially, no better example than Sasha versus Charlotte for the last 4 or 5 months. I've never, ever, in my 20 years of watching wrestling, seen any championship, maybe outside of the hardcore championship in the late 90s, defend it or change hands more than I did during that time frame. It just made no sense, and it did nothing more than damage the championship itself. And I think that this Sunday, spoiler alert, it could happen again. And so let's move along. Braun demands a contract for his match on Sunday with Roman Reigns, so he can't back out of the match. Okay. Seth Rollins interview with Corey Graves. Rollins hobbles out and says his knee is all right. The tear is worse than thought, but maybe he deserves this. He said he lost sight of the redesign, rebuild, and reclaim. And Corey asks, are you going to be at WrestleMania? Seth says that right now it's not looking great. Triple H music hits. And Samoa Joe's on the other side of the ring. And Triple H says that you will not be at WrestleMania. Triple H says he used him up and spit him out. And says that this is a pivotal moment for Seth right now. And if he calls out Triple H at WrestleMania, He's done. He's done warning him, and it will be the last thing he ever does in a WWE ring. So he says he has nothing. Seth says he has nothing left to lose, and he'll be at WrestleMania. And he swears it will be the last thing that he ever does, meaning Triple H. So they aren't really committing to a match yet. Maybe they're still kind of riding the fence, but I would assume having this segment speaks volumes to really where they feel that this could go. And I think that this match is going to happen, but they didn't position it as a match. So what? In other words, my deal is they position it like Seth is going to come out on WrestleMania, stand there and call out Triple H instead of actually having a match. I don't think that'll be the case, but it very well could be. Maybe they don't even know yet, but they feel more optimistic than pessimistic on the status of Seth. Either way, I'm excited that Seth will actually be there and we'll have some kind of altercation. This is a very good feud, and this is one of those segments where I expected the crowd to really get into it, and they didn't. This was very well done. All right, so let's move along here as I flip my page. And okay, the next segment was Samoa Joe and Cesaro, which that was a nice hitting match, hard hitting match. Joe won clean. I love his music, by the way. Love it. Sami Zayn attacks Joe as he cuts a promo on stage, and really good touch with security separating them. Always builds anticipation for them to just let them fight. Strowman versus Reigns, contract signing. Foley says that this match is the unstoppable force, meaning the immovable object. No, it's not. It's not WrestleMania 3. And do not ever compare Andre versus Hogan and that slogan of unstoppable force, immovable object. Those two are the only ones that deserve that type of language. So let's move along. I know they're trying to make it bigger than it is, but bad analogy. Not even close. Foley finally loses it on Strowman after he comes out and disrespects Foley. Reigns comes out and they brawl. Reigns hits the spear through the barricade. A security guard gets taken out as well. I don't know who that security guard was, but maybe we'll find out. Maybe it's just random. Maybe it was just random and he was collateral damage. Strowman gets back up and throws Reigns into the turnbuckle, which comes undone and basically explodes. And Reigns is left laying again. So overall, good Raw. I think that the crowd could have added a lot more to this, and maybe I would have felt better about Raw had the crowd actually been awake. But I enjoyed it overall. Strong, and I know some people didn't, but I think it was It was a acceptable go-home show for Fastlane. Let's get into SmackDown Live. Shane and Daniel Bryan are watching the replay from last week of the Battle Royal with the, quote, draw between AJ and Luke Harper. But, guys, anybody, I don't care if you watch wrestling or not, if you ask them, even though you can't get the definitive camera angle, just by looking at it from the front, whose feet hit first? It's no contest. Clearly, Luke Harper appeared to win. It's just not physically possible. AJ was down before Luke Harper even had one foot on the ground, just by looking at the front angle. So whatever, I'm just going to suspend my belief. And Miz and Maryse actually opened the show with Miz TV. The guest is John Cena. And this is one of the best promo segments I've seen in, I can't really recall how long. Loved this. Miz says to cut Cena's music and ends up cutting his mic as well. Miz says Cena has cost him 10 years of lost opportunity. And Cena's word is gospel to the higher-ups here in WWE. He says he's like the guy at work that you wonder how he got there. He calls him a hypocrite for calling The Rock out when they had their feud for leaving for Hollywood. And then he did the same when he got the call. Miz has some good points. And I was sitting there thinking, Cena's going to come back with something good. And he really did. He proved why he is up there with Paul Heyman in terms of promos. Cena, I'm sorry, love him, hate him, and I'm not a John Cena fan. I will be the first to boo him at a live event. But he has got some game. He's quick-witted. He is intelligent, and he had a lot to say to Miz here. He drops a bomb saying that, if you really thought he was the manipulator, you think I'd be standing in the ring this close to WrestleMania with you? Hell no. I'd be standing in the ring toe-to-toe with The Undertaker. He says Miz is a man who's playing a man and shorten his last name, while Cena is playing himself. A lot of shoot work promo here. A lot of great bullet points in this promo. I got so entranced with it that I didn't really have time to type. I was more just listening. And it says that He has some advice. Next time we talk, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And you're not the Undertaker, but next time you press me, you're a dead man. Loved it. Maurice says, no, you don't leave this ring until we say so. She calls Cena an egomaniac. Maurice slaps Cena, and unfortunately, with the WWE PR family-friendly rules of everybody sensitive to everything, we can't have any man-on-woman violence, and Nikki comes out, and Miz and Maurice retreat. Really, a scathing promo from John Cena. I loved it. Loved it. And this, while it's not the Undertaker that everyone expected the match to be with, I think it's next year in New Orleans, and we get that final match, and the career ends where the streak ended. I'm still looking forward to this tag match, even though it does kind of feel like exhibition-like. No matter who wins or loses, it doesn't really matter. But I'm excited for the build-up because both guys are top-notch with promo ability. So Becky Lynch versus Mickie James, 2 out of 3 falls. I don't know why. They didn't explain why, but it's 2 out of 3 falls just to maybe add a wrinkle into this otherwise one-on-ones that they've been having the past 3 weeks. So Mickie James scores the first fall. And by the way, when the referee counts to 1 before the cover is official, you know it's going to be 3. Like, I don't even have to know what move was done. I just need to see the cadence of the referee's count and I know who's going to win. It's weird. Like, I just see when the referee knows that's the finish. It's a little frustrating. But Becky gets the second pinfall from a roll-up. Alexa comes out, and Mickie accidentally slams into Alexa and then gets the disarmer and taps. So, I don't know what that means, but Becky is the latest winner of a back-and-forth rivalry that is all rivalries in WWE. Nobody can be dominant. It's like a cardinal rule. Another Oscars reference. We couldn't get through SmackDown without it from WWE with Alexa backstage. I know some people liked it. I didn't. I just really dislike when WWE tries to be cool and hip and pull in the latest pop culture news. I hate it. Natty, just basically this was setting up Natty saying she wants a championship match. At least she's going to be one of the women in a multi-woman match at WrestleMania for the championship. Luke Harper versus AJ Styles. The winner goes to the main event of WrestleMania. I don't know why they just can't say championship match. I think I talked about this last week. WWE just can't say the winner gets a shot at the championship, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, or the championship of their respective brand. They just say the main event of WrestleMania. What is that? What is the main event of WrestleMania? I don't know. It just sounds so corporate to me. Just say championship match. Don't say main event. They're just being so vague. But what if the main event's not a title match? I mean, you know, really? Like, I just don't understand some of the verbiage that they use sometimes, and they just can't commit to what the Royal Rumble win means. All right. By the way, I think Harper could really benefit here from a new presentation. I like his look. I like his eyes. I like his in-ring ability. But I think a refresh for new music and maybe some new visuals on stage, new video package when he comes out would really benefit him, because it would really start to separate him from that kind of dark cloud that hung over him as one of the Wyatt member families. While he stood out, he really never was the guy in the Wyatt family. It was always Bray. So to separate yourself from that, get him new music. That music he has now isn't exactly babyface, get you excited type of guy. And so I think that could be something that they do and should do. But it was a nice match. It ends as another screwy finish with AJ getting the pinfall on Harper with his foot on the rope. As the incompetence of the referees continue, I think that the average IQ, if you took this sport seriously, of a referee is about 60. And I'd love to know the hiring process from a fantasy storyline perspective of a WWE referee. I really would. I mean, these guys are the most bumbling buffoons that you've ever seen. If you actually did a performance review on these guys, oof, that'd be rough. So Shane comes out and restarts the match, and Harper accidentally kicks Shane. AJ still wins with the 450 splash. I thought it was going to be AJ who accidentally kicked Shane, but it was Harper. So I still think we get Shane versus AJ. Maybe we get hints of that next week on SmackDown where, you know, Shane says, Randy Orton won the Rumble. Sorry, AJ, I know we put you in this tournament, but the Royal Rumble win trumps what we did as a contingency plan for a championship match at WrestleMania, where then AJ goes off, attacks Shane, and we get Shane versus AJ, and everybody goes boo to that. I'm sorry, it's not intriguing to me. But to me, if Randy Orton gave up all of his rights as champion, as the or as number one contender for the championship at WrestleMania, you can't go back. But we're going to go back because, hey, it's WWE. So Dean Ambrose versus Curt Hawkins, which never happened. Dean just came in and gave him dirty deeds right away. He calls out Baron Corbin. Corbin appears on the Tron and says that Dean is a deer standing in the middle of the road. He's going to run him over. It was a nice promo. I think Corbin has come a long way from his win at the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal last year. I think that he's going to be one of the featured heels in 2017 and have a run as champion, maybe around SummerSlam. I think that that is possible, and I'm looking forward to it. Apollo Crews versus Dolph Ziggler in a chairs match. This one is where, and this is another guy where Ziggler could benefit from a music change. He's had the same music and the same pink tights, and really, I know he turned heel, so change it. Don't make me feel like he's the same guy. Give me a new fresh coat of paint. Crews attacks Ziggler from behind, but Crews is babyface, right? I don't know. Ziggler wins after a quote, accidental throat shot with a chair and a low blow with the chair. I would have liked Ziggler's post-match beatdown that he's been doing every week. I would have enjoyed that. Or maybe after. And the announcers framed this as an accident that Dolph Ziggler tripped Corbin into the chair that hit his throat. I would have, and they can do that, but I would have had Ziggler emote a little bit of pleasure in that happening. Maybe him sitting in the corner after that happened with a kind of an evil grin and happy that that happened. Instead, he just continued with the match. Just nitpicking here, but that kind of stuff is big when you're trying to get a guy over as nasty, and especially when you had his post-match beatdowns that just ceased this week. Bray Wyatt's invocation, okay, is next, and he tells AJ that when the bell rings, you're going to feel the spirit of him. But Orton appears on screen in the Wyatt's home where Sister Abigail was buried. He said that this is your world, Bray, but it's not mine. Finally, we get the turn. He ends up burning the entire place down. Really, really good stuff. I enjoyed it. Now, some people were down on it. I loved it. I think that that really created a sense of depth to this story. I don't think you can insert Harper in here. It's all about Randy versus Bray. This match goes back about 4 or 5 months after, you know, the rivalry, and then eventually turned on Kane to just get inside, and it was just all an inside job by Randy to get the keys to the kingdom, and he burns Bray Wyatt's compound to the ground. So I enjoyed it. I don't know why people were down on it. I liked it. It was really good stuff, especially with Bray pleading with Randy and then emoted really awesome frustration, sadness, anger. All of those emotions came through with Bray. I think he did a really good job here. It's not just about Randy doing what he did. It's about how does Bray respond. And it was all three. It was frustration, sadness, anger, all of it. And he was just kind of rocking back and forth at ringside. A little bit of Mankind here. I liked it. In fact, I loved it. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Bray responds to this. Very interesting. I'm very curious to see how deep and dark Bray Wyatt goes now. So where does this leave AJ? Yep, it looks like Shane McMahon, folks. It looks like Shane. So let's get into the Fast Lane predictions. And I'm going to start right at the top of the card here. I'm not going to keep you waiting. Kevin Owens versus Goldberg for the Universal Championship. Winner? I like to be the smartest guy in the room here and say Kevin Owens, but it just can't be. Goldberg, I think, comes away with it. I think that's a 90% chance. Now, could Kevin retain and have maybe Brock screw Goldberg out of the championship and you have Kevin Owens versus Jericho for the Universal title? You could, but then you're also neutering the United States Championship on Jericho where it's not featured on the pay-per-view because I don't know. I don't think you'd have title versus title. And Jericho is scheduled to be leaving WWE, and I've been saying that for months, but he has likely been on his way out for Fozzy and whatnot. But to me, Goldberg has to win this, and maybe Jericho intervenes and costs Kevin Owens. I think that is what happens. And maybe Brock shows up at the end of the match to F5 Goldberg and start their rivalry. So that's what I expect. I expect maybe 10 to 12 minutes. Goldberg cannot go very long. So that's how I picture it. Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax. I think that's where it's going. And Sasha gets frustrated And maybe on SmackDown, she finally turns and we get a fatal four-way women's match for the at WrestleMania. I think that's where they're going. So plus Nia Jax cannot lose yet. I don't think she's not in the position to give it away yet. She is done, or WWE's done a good job of building her up. She's the Braun Strowman of the women's division. And speaking of Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns versus Braun. I think, unfortunately, Roman Reigns wins. Why? Because they have to get him ready for The Undertaker. I just hope the way that Roman Reigns wins is not clean. I hope it's a tainted victory where Strowman still comes out looking strong. Maybe Roman turns heel and cheats to win. And you have The Undertaker come out after. Gong, chokeslam, Taker stands tall. I think that would be cool. So if Roman Reigns wins, it cannot be clean. You would, to me, negate all of the progress you've done. It's not for Roman Reigns to do. Keep the streak going with Strowman. They've done too much. So I think Reigns wins, but it's by hook or crook, and we see Undertaker show up for a chokeslam. Karl Anderson and then Luke Gallows versus Enzo and Cass. Gallows and Anderson win. It's just not time for Enzo and Cass. This is a duo that's had so much damage done. It's gotten to the point where they're almost organically turning heel. That's how bad Enzo and Cass feel right now. Neville versus Jack Gallagher for the Cruiserweight Championship. Neville, he's just doing too good of a job being the bully of the Cruiserweights, and I think that's going to continue. Case closed. Charlotte versus Bayley for the Women's Championship. Guys, hot potato continues. Charlotte wins. WWE continues their hot potato, as I said, with the women's title. And they continue to build Charlotte's pay-per-view win streak, which will continue and maybe continue for a very long time. And I'm okay with that. Not really. I don't know if this has been announced, but if it has, Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn, Joe wins. End of story. Case closed. No contest. Joe wins. I think that that has to happen. So, guys, thank you for joining me. I got to get running here. I got some more house projects I got to do. And so the renovations over a year now continue. So enjoy Fastlane. I'll be back next week. Thank you for joining me, guys. Follow me on Twitter at Matt's Madness or the WWE Podcast. You can go to WWEpodcast.com or mattsmadness.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes for both shows or one of them, whatever. It really does help out the show. I do appreciate it. And guys, thank you for listening, supporting the show, and I'll talk to you next time.